It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today we want to look in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Now we're not going to read all of these verses, but later on if you get an opportunity, and I would say take the opportunity, read chapter 3 of 2 Peter verses 1 through 9. I'd like to call to your attention especially today 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says there, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." But what promise is the Bible speaking of here? What is the promise? Verse 4 talks about that, and it says it's the promise of his coming. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4, the Bible says this, "And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at that end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, because his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by whose faith? His faith." I want you to know today that God keeps his promises, no matter what man thinks or says. The fulfillment of God's promises or warnings may seem to take too much time by our timing, but God has an appointed time for the accomplishment of his promises, and we can be sure that they will happen on time. God's time, for he does not lie. In the New Testament, this truth, which Habakkuk applied to the coming of the Chaldean invasion, is quoted in reference to the promised return of Christ. Now read later on, if you would, Hebrews chapter 10. Now to us who long for his return, for Christ's return, it may seem that he's taking too long, that he's just tarrying. But we need to be patient. And being patient means to occupy until he comes, to work until he comes for us, and to be ready. In verse 2 of Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, "That he may run that readeth it." I want to commend those today who witness for the Lord, those who are taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those people who need to be saved today, to those people who need to know about Jesus Christ. We need to run and tell people that Jesus is coming. Well, you might say, "But people will make fun of me." Well, that's exactly what will happen, not all the time now, but you know, the Bible says you can expect to have people make fun of you. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts." Jude, verse 17 and 19, speaks of mockers in the last time, walking after their ungodly lusts. Well, Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus was made fun of. Are you better than Jesus? And of course, the answer is no. If they made fun of our Lord and Savior, we can certainly expect that there are going to be those who will make fun of us. That should not stop us. We should look for the promise. We need to remember the promise of his coming. Well, there is an appointed time when Jesus will come back. In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, it says this, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Who was raised from the dead? Well, it's Jesus Christ. Who's going to be the judge according as we study? These verses that I just read tell us that it is the Lord, that the one who was raised from the dead is going to be the judge. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 through 37, it says this, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. These verses, Matthew 24 and verse 36 through 37, these verses are speaking of the second coming of the Lord, not the rapture, not the time when Christians will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and we'll look at that in just a moment. It's an appointed time when Jesus is coming back and setting foot upon this earth. And what are we to do because of his coming? Are we just to sit around and twiddle our thumbs and just sit back? Well, I believe there are four things that we need to be doing today. First of all, we need to be diligent. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Now, the word diligent here means to be prompt, to endeavor, to labor, to be fast. So we are to be laboring for the Lord. We are to be in a hurry to get out the word of God, to let people know that Jesus is coming again. Be diligent. Put our hands to the plow and go forth and do the work of God. Not only are we to be diligent, but we are to account that the Lord is salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." I believe one of the reasons that Jesus has not come back yet, and of course we know that he's not coming back until the right time, but I believe that one of the reasons that he hasn't come back is because of the long-suffering of our Lord. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to salvation, that all should be saved. Now, the word account here means to command with authority. Now, you and I have the authority to go out and represent Jesus Christ. I've had people ask me, "Well, what authority do you have to tell me about the Lord?" Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And of course, the ambassadors spoken of here are those people who are saved. We are here in Christ's stead today. We are here as Christians representing the Lord and telling people, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And verse 13 of Romans chapter 10 goes on to say, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, we're not only to be diligent until he comes, we are to account that the Lord is salvation. And then I see something else. We are not to fall from steadfastness. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, where it says this, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Let me make a side note here. That note would be that steadfastness is used in this verse and not salvation. That person who has trusted in the Lord today is saved. That person needs to be steadfast in proclaiming Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. That person needs to stand upon the Word of God, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's exactly what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says. It says, "Be ye steadfast." It says, "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." We sometimes get weary in well-doing as Christians, and we sometimes say, "Well, you know, I've worked so long and hard, and things are getting so tough for me to make it in the Lord." Well, we need to quit belly aching, and we need to get back to where we once were, to our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, for we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, steadfastness means stability. We need to be stable today. We need to be steadfast in the Lord. In Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord," and that's the Word of God. "And in his law," in his Word, "doth he meditate day and night." And notice this, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, that person in Psalm 1 is a person who is steadfast. They are stable. They are planted like a tree, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then we see the fourth thing that we are to do because of his coming. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of the Savior. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." To grow means to enlarge, to increase, to grow up. Notice the words here, grow in grace. Grace means service. Grace equals service. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." We need to be in service for our Lord today and quit serving the world. We need to get serious with God and serve Jesus. Something else. Notice the word knowledge in that verse, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Knowledge. Christian growth is what comes from knowledge. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 and 13 says this, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Get serious with God. Get in the word of God and grow. And finally, Christian growth equals giving of oneself to Jesus. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Remember, there are no signs pointing to the rapture of the church. There are signs pointing to the second coming of Christ, and that's what I'm speaking of today, the second coming. But notice, as Christians, we are to look for his coming at the rapture. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing." Do you love his appearing today? Do you know him as your Savior? Right where you're at, why not bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart? "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin and come into my heart. I receive you as Savior today." And as a Christian today, you need to bow your head and ask God to lead you and help you to be strong and give forth the Word of God to this lost and dying world. You need to trust Jesus first of all as your Savior, and then after that you need to get busy for the Lord. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He would have all men, all women to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Trust him today. Live for him today. Work for him today, because Jesus first loved us.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.